Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each week to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Ben. Appreciate you doing this again, and really exciting as we have students back in the fold, and we're rocking and rolling.
Absolutely. The summer is behind us. We're beginning competitions for the fall season. Got a busy weekend this weekend of competitions here on campus. What has you most excited about the start of the fall season?
Well, just the energy that the students bring when they, you know, start to move in, which they did last week. And then they started school on Tuesday, and just that energy, seeing all the student athletes in their meetings as they prepare for the year and getting their gear and their excitement of getting their gear and seeing them walking around campus with their backpacks and all those type of things. Just the energy. I don't particularly like the traffic increase, but I do like the energy that they bring to our environment.
Absolutely. It feels like the first day of school, even for the whole department, once everybody gets back on campus. So we'll hop right into things today. Our first guest requires little introduction, but he's a native son of New Hampshire, an OSU staff member since 2017, and he's entering his fourth season as the head football coach here at OSU. We're very excited to welcome Ryan Day. Ryan, thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely. Great to see you guys.
Ryan, as we are recording this, your team is preparing to close out fall camp and enter into your first full week of game prep for the regular season. Could you give our listeners an idea of what this time of year looks like for you guys?
Yeah, sure. It's been a fun few weeks here as we've gone through our preseason camp. Really, it was 2 weeks in the hotel, and during that time, those are full days that our guys aren't in class. So they get to really spend their whole day focusing on football. Wake up early in the morning, meetings in the morning, and then on the field, practice. Those guys get a few hours in between to get lunch and recover. We come back at 2:30 for special teams meetings. We have offensive, defensive meetings, lifting. Those guys have dinner. We come back for a team meeting. Some more offensive, defensive meetings. And we have walkthrough at night together on the field. They allow us to use a ball now out there. And that goes till about 8:30, 8:45. And then we do it again the next day. So if you ever seen the movie Groundhog's Day, it's about 3 weeks of that. And then on Tuesday, we started classes. And so that's a whole new routine because now the guys have classes in the morning. And then meetings start at 2:30 in the afternoon. And now we're practicing in the afternoon, early evening. So just finding that routine, but it's been a good few weeks in preparation for this first one.
Ryan, you've got a lot of new faces over at the Woody for this offseason. How do you ensure that the new staff members understand the culture that you're trying to foster here at OSU? And how has that approach changed from year one to year four?
Well, I think the first thing is just the approach. It's just an awareness of how important it is to have everybody on the same page. And how much, you're only as good as the people that you surround yourself with. You know, it's just, people can tell you until you're blue in the face, but until you really live it, you think you can do it all, you can't. And so I think that's been probably the biggest thing for me in these first couple of years. But when you onboard new people or right from the jump, you got to really set the expectations of what our culture looks like and really, that first week, especially just hammer it out. And then from there, just reinforce it. We do a retreat right before our preseason camp with the coaching staff, and we go through every single little detail of, our policies and the way we recruit, what's expected, what you're supposed to wear when you're in the facility, how we handle players, how we teach on-field, behavior, when we're on the road to everything, discipline. Communication with parents. There's just so many things to go through and just making sure we reinforce it, set the expectations, and then demand that everybody kind of lives to the culture.
Gene, it's kind of easy to see the schedule tick over for the football team from postseason play to spring ball to fall camp. But on the departmental level, when do the rest of the staff here start the shift from one football season going into the next?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. Actually, they begin to shift in the summertime. You know, we try our best to encourage everyone to try and catch a break in that particularly July window. But many of them are beginning that process of setting their agendas for all the meetings in the fall. Our facilities crew really is their work year round. I mean, people, we have such an iconic stadium in the SHU and celebrating 100 years. We did a lot of upgrades this summer. Hopefully fans will see that, the field itself, but we did a lot of painting and a lot of things in the concourse area that people, I think, will be excited about. And but people don't realize from a infrastructure point of view, the piping, the electricity and all the cables and all the things. If you're ever walking in the concourse, instead of just looking straight ahead or looking down, look up. You'll see it all. And we have to make sure we maintain that. So we spend a lot of money and a lot of time on that and our facilities crew every year round. But really, it starts rocking and rolling in late July when we start our formal meetings.
After 100 years, it makes sense that, you know, the stadium would need a little bit of a facelift here and there. But
that's right. And it's ongoing.
Gene, how have you and Ryan worked together this offseason to navigate the changing tides of college football and then athletics on the whole?
I mean, Ryan and I, you know, the great thing about Ryan, he's such a great communicator, and we've established a great relationship, and it's just authentic. It's an authentic relationship. And so there's everything's above board, and there's honest and forthright communication, and the trust is there, so it's easy. We know, both of us know, that, you know, that things are going to change, and NIL really changed our space big time. And we understand that we have to try and navigate it. And so it's challenging because our competitors are doing things differently than what we will do. Ryan's embraced how we want to do things here. That's just who he is as a human being. But at the end of the day, you know, it's hard when your competitors are, you know, are poaching players and offering financial deals that we don't offer at the same level. I think he's done. We talk about it all the time, and so constantly trying to come up with strategies to make sure that Ohio State football stays at the top of the pyramid. And so I have to compliment him actually, because it's when you're getting ready to play a game like we're getting ready to play against Notre Dame, but you got all these other little things chirping at you. It's hard to not, you know, lose your focus, but he's maintained his focus, and I really appreciate his leadership in that space.
Ryan, on that note, how do you silo the football portion of your role from everything else?
Well, I mean, the first thing is, you know, Gene allows me to do that. You know, I was thinking about it, even driving in today, where I can't imagine what it's like being maybe another school where, you know, their athletic director doesn't know exactly what's going on across the college football landscape in this NIL space. I mean, he knows exactly what's going on in real time. So if you don't know that, boy, that can be a distraction, because you're always constantly thinking about it and trying to get ahead and wondering what's going on. And so because of that, you know, we just have great conversation about what's going on in the real world, the ground level. And then there's just times where Gene's like, hey, listen, we need to kind of see where this thing goes and take our time a little bit here. But then there's other times we got to move on this. We can't wait. And then we go through it and just talk through it that way. And so that allows us here and myself personally just focus on football the best we can. You know, certainly every day is recruiting and there's challenges every day with our players. It's happening almost on a nightly basis. So we have to have those communications, but because Gene's so involved with everything that goes on, and he knows what's happening because of the committees he's on and his friends and his past, it allows us to really know that it's being addressed, it's being taken care of, and that, you know, we can focus on football.
As Gene alluded to, Ryan, every school across the country is finding their own way to evolve. But have you sought input from any of your peers at other schools? I know you still are connected with a lot of coaches around the country.
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is just frustration around, you know, what are the rules and then how are they being enforced? And anytime that happens, it creates, you know, unrest and hard feelings. So The easiest thing to do is throw up your hands. But the best thing to do is to recognize that it's a challenge and why we're here and how we move forward with it. And the funny thing is, I think it's different in every school. Every school has its own unique set of challenges and set of circumstances. Here at Ohio State, we're positioned better than I think anybody else in the country. But we're also held to a very high standard here, which is why we're all here. And so every decision we make is going to be unique to Ohio State. And I think that's what Regine just, you know, hit, the hammer hits the nail on that every time. And but it's not with great thought and counsel. And so, you know, when I look across the country, I know that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people in different programs that have their own challenges and are going to do things differently. But at Ohio State, you know, we know where our values are.
Gene, I wanted to ask you the same question. You've been involved in so many of these evolutionary discussions, but how frequently are you comparing executable options with your peers around the country?
Oh, it's almost every day. And, you know, one of my good friends is Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma. I had a great conversation with him yesterday. I actually had a conversation with Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame. And, you know, I just, every day I'm talking to one of my colleagues, and it might be through a group call or committee call, but periodically it's me picking up the phone and just calling somebody, say, hey, I read this. You know, what does that mean? Help me understand. And so the world has changed. It's my responsibility to help our coaches be able to adapt to that change. And so I got to stay connected nationally. So it's almost every day. You know, we have as Ryan shared, you know, we have recruits who are committed to us, and some of them are getting, you know, offers from different schools. And when I hear about it, I pick up the phone and I'll call the AD. And, I just call it like it is and say, hey, I just want to understand, how does this work? Because we're not doing it that way here. So maybe we're making a mistake. So teach me. So I go at it from a curiosity point of view. But, you know, that's just what you got to do.
Gene, you've seen so many seismic shifts throughout your career in the college athletic space. How do you take the lessons that you've learned from all of the changes in the past and distill that to pass down to your coaches and also the rest of our department?
I've always said, Ben, that we're, you know, the total sum of all of our experiences in life. And I really am blessed that I've enjoyed a tremendous a number of experiences, you know, all the way back to, you know, my days at Eastern Michigan, and I never forget those experiences. And so I just try and just be honest and have good conversations. And I'm not always right. You know, if you have good people like we have in our coaching staff and support staff, even though I may have these experiences, it's my conversations with them that help us get to where we need to get to. Because everyone has experiences from wherever they came from. So what we have to do is take all that talent and skill and put it together and be open and make sure we can come up with the right solution for Ohio State. And that goes to our core values around, you know, just respecting the diversity that we have in our talent. And so it's never one person, it's always the team.
Ryan, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about what excites you about the 2022 Ohio State Buckeyes. What makes this team different in your eyes?
Well, I think first off, the excitement around, you know, the 100-year anniversary of the Shoe, our schedule at home, which is an excellent schedule, bookended with Notre Dame and team up north and 8 home games. That's first off really exciting. I think the next thing is just the amount of experience that we return. Almost the entire Rose Bowl team is back. So very, very different than last year, you know, coming off of COVID and graduating a bunch of really good players that went to the national championship game last year. We were very green last year. And so you can't replace experience. And so, you know, these guys did some really good things last year, also have some scars, had a really good off season. And so that combined with a new defensive staff, which is a lot very exciting. And there's been some really good back and forth practices between the offense and defense in the preseason. I think you're going to see, you know, some really good play here as we head into the season.
Ryan, this will air a few days before our first home game against Notre Dame. What's your message to Buckeye Nation?
Well, I mean, I think Buckeye Nation knows obviously how big this first game is, and it's got to be a huge advantage to us. So certainly when Notre Dame has the ball, we need them loud. You know, I know Gene mentioned about getting early, getting here early. That's great. You got all day to get excited and get fired up for the game, but just bringing the juice. It's going to be an unbelievably electric atmosphere, and let's make sure that when they have the ball, they know how loud the horseshoe can get. And for 100 years being in the stadium, why not? Let's let September 3rd be the loudest it's ever been.
Fantastic. Ryan, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, one more question before you go, Ryan. Obviously, you went through a decision-making process with your wife to keep your beard. So talk about that. I mean, what was the process where you decided, hey, okay, I'm just going to keep it?
Well, when I had it on, and then there was a couple clips of a couple years ago when I didn't have the beard, and my wife said, no, we're not going back to that. I said, okay. I mean, she's like, I don't like you without the beard. And so, although kind of right now I'm sort of in preseason mode right here, I got to get this cleaned up a little bit because we can't have a shaggy beard as the head coach at Ohio State, but I am going to keep it. And according to my wife, I guess it gives me a little bit of an edge. There are some grays peeking through. There were not grays when I first became the head coach, Gene, but now there are a few grays.
Here they come.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. They're for
just, your time. Ryan, those are just silver bullets popping through. Don't worry about that.
Okay. All right. All right,
yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Absolutely.
So the beginning of the fall schedule here means a return to play for Buckeyes on the field and also on the court. To discuss that return, we're very fortunate to have our second guest, the Ohio State women's volleyball head coach, Jen Flynn Oldenburg. Jen, thanks so much for taking some time to chat today.
Thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So your team had another exciting season in 2021 and starts the season ranked 7th in the country. How have you tried to carry that momentum your program has built over the last couple of seasons into this year?
I think that's the easy part. The momentum is there, and it's based on the players in our gym right now. You know, they're experienced. We have a lot of upperclassmen that have seen some court time. So you know, to Ryan's point, experience matters and there's no replacement for it. And I think the momentum comes from them where they want more. You know, we keep saying we want more. And they worked all off season and had a fantastic preseason in order to put us in a position for this to be that more year. So we're looking at a Big Ten title. We're talking about it and, you know, we're chasing it, but we're also talking about Elite Eight, Final Four, and see where this season goes.
So obviously returning all this experience is invaluable, but programmatically, what was your main focus for this offseason?
A big thing that we worked on was just how do we treat each other? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the talent is in the gym, but it's those conversations that are very difficult that everybody wants to avoid. And if we treat each other the right way, then those conversations on the court happen naturally and there's no hard feelings and we move on quickly. And I think that was a big piece. And how do we manage the noise? That's another phrase we've been using a lot in the offseason is distractions get in the way for every team. And the ones that handle them the best are the ones that have that success. So we were just talking about, you know, the people in the stands don't matter. It's the people in our gym. And here's a good test of that tonight when we face Texas.
Gene, the beginning of Jen's tenure here was a bit of a juggling act. This is the first regular season that women's volleyball will have a full off season coming into it since 2019. How have you seen the program evolve under Jen's leadership, having to deal with all of that?
I think one thing she's done is just provide an unbelievable leadership. But, when you think about programs that have a great opportunity to be successful, beyond talent, it's the culture. It's just what she talked about. She's created an environment where young women in our program trust one another. They want to support one another. They push one another. And they establish, you know, what their vision and dreams are together. So it's not, you don't see the fragmentation in the unit that sometimes makes it difficult to have a very successful program. Everyone seems to be aligned. They're having fun. They're really fun to be around. I just love them. And so she's just done a marvelous job with creating a culture that ultimately will allow you to go into a natural season, to your point, Ben. You know, this is the first full kind of natural season where, you know, it's kind of set up pretty good. She went a little crazy with scheduling. We're going to ask her about that because I think we have, what, five, is it five top 25 teams or something like that?
Seven.
So, yeah, here we go. So
the other one's receiving votes. So,
but no, it's just amazing how, you know, talent acquisition is huge. She's got some great players and unbelievable talent, but the culture is just phenomenal.
So the women's volleyball program is one that maybe most directly impacted by the expansion of our conference moving forward, Gene. How do you envision our department dealing with that and supporting their program with the trips back and forth to LA?
Yeah, I think one is we need to have conversations between now and probably next summer, get coaches' feedback. I've asked all of our coaches in their coaches' meetings, Big Ten coaches' meetings, to make sure they're having conversations about those things. And I'll, at some point after the season, spend time with Jen and Lori and other fall coaches, Jared, and talk about, okay, how do we look at scheduling and what's your recommendations as we move forward? So it'll be a collaborative effort over the next 10 to 12 months to try and build the models. And we'll make sure that we focus on being creative. You know, one of the ideas that I share with my AD colleagues is, you know, let's take fall sports, for example. There's no reason women's volleyball and women's soccer couldn't be on the same plane going out west and doing a swing, you know, and go out and have a contest on Friday, a contest on Sunday, and come back. And so we just have to be creative. There's no reason that for some of our sports, we couldn't find a midpoint in the United States where there's a great facility and you have, you know, a contest in a different environment where we have huge populations of alums. So we just got to think differently and to ensure that we manage the time zone. That's the issue and the recovery with that. So I feel confident with, you know, the coaches that I'm blessed to have that, you know, we'll brainstorm and come up with good strategies.
Gene alluded to it. You guys not only have a tough slate, but anybody that's hoping to see you at home may have to wait until the month of October to do it. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the gauntlet that you guys are going to have to go through this year?
Yeah, alluded to it. He just called me out on it. it transpired to be the toughest schedule in the country. And, you know, for us, it's time. Like we talked about before, the experience matters. And with the group of returners and for the goals that we have, I felt like it was time to be tested and tested often and early. Last year, we weren't ready for the Big Ten Conference. And that's a battle in itself, every night in, night out. And you have to be on. And, you know, the first weekend, we lose to 5 on the road at Purdue. The next night, we get smoked at Penn State. And it was embarrassing. And, you know, I took it on myself to make sure we were ready every year from now on. And so with the squad we have, I wanted to schedule tough. Like I said, it certainly got tougher as they added people to each tournament we're going to or each weekend. But it was like, okay, we're going to go play at Georgia Tech. Who are you bringing in? BYU. Okay, let's go. I like Heather. You know, like, and it was like, I like these coaches. Let's just see what we're made of and how we respond. And it really sets us up for the Big Ten schedule with every night is tough and you got to play well. You might not have to play your very best, but you have to play very well. And if you don't play well the first night, you have to respond the second night. And, you know, that sets us up for tournament time as well. And, you know, if we take care of what we need to in the Big Ten, we'll be set up well for the tournament. But if we take care of the pre-conference, then we're really set up for a good run in the NCAAs.
Awesome.
So the Big Ten is probably the most exciting conference in women's volleyball. And they decided to start the season with a ton of excitement as well, Jen. This was the inaugural Big Ten Media Days for women's volleyball. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
It was amazing. You know, the Big Ten, it is the best conference for volleyball. And I think having a media day such that they did just sets us apart. I mean, every detail was planned out. It was a remarkable event, top to bottom. It was great for our student athletes just to get that exposure and that love and that excitement around the sport leading into the season. You know, I think it's, I hope other conferences follow along because it puts us on the map as a sport, but it certainly put us on the map as a conference. And, you know, we're appreciative of their efforts, but it was fun. It was fun, exciting, and really, I think, set the tone for the whole year for the conference.
Gene, women's volleyball is one of the fastest growing sports in the whole country. Why is it important for the conference to continue to provide that platform for women's volleyball and all of our Olympic sports?
Well, I think, you know, one thing you have to do is just understand that every single sport, every single student athlete has the same experience relative to life lessons. And if you're in this, you know, with that purpose to try and ensure that every student athlete in every single sport has a quality experience and they learn through learn lessons through their experiences as they go through our program, then you understand that every sport, you just got to stay focused on that. You know, women's volleyball, every single student athlete has the same experience from a competitive point of view, practice and everything, just like a football player. You know, they go to work every day and work hard, and they had a preseason camp. And so those women really get after it, and they learn a lot of lessons, and they ultimately will be leaders when they leave us. And that's what we want to do. And so I don't know, that to me, that's the major focus on why you really focus on all the sports that you have. Of course, we want to win in everything we do here. So we got to make sure that we do just what Jen was talking about, is position every single sport to have that chance to win championships and chase the Holy Grail. But at the end of the day, you got to care about the student athlete experience.
Gene, how do you see the Big Ten Conference continuing to expand that exposure for sports like women's volleyball moving forward? And to what extent was that considered during our media rights agreement discussions?
But that was it. That was the answer right there, is when we did the media rights agreement, we talked a lot about our Olympic sports and making sure that we have multiple platforms where they could be exposed. And some of them will have more opportunities in the direct to consumer in our relationships with NBC and Peacock. So there's, we certainly have more capability now when you have multiple partners like this, and their excitement. When you think about CBS and NBC, they're excited to do those sports. And NBC has a long history of supporting Olympic sports through their broadcast networks. And so, I don't know, it was a big consideration, and it's important for us to do. And I'm just really, really fortunate that we were able to put that together and provide that opportunity.
Jen, outside of competing for championships on the court, what are your long-term goals for this program, and how do you see the program growing as the sport continues to grow?
Yeah, I think Gene stole my words a little bit, which he likes to do. I appreciate it. But it's in line with what we're doing here at Ohio State. I mean, championships, yeah, we're going to go chase those. But it's preparing them for what's next, you know, success outside of the sport, in the sport, if they want to go play pro, you know, we're going to prepare them for that. But it's the career direction. It's their, what are they passionate about? Are they going to be leaders in those fields when they leave? And that's why our culture is a big part of it. How we treat each other, how we communicate, how do you have those hard conversations with coworkers or superiors, like when they get out in the real world, you know, all those things are important to us. And so success, yeah, it's easy to figure out what that means on the court with wins and losses, but it's what they're doing after. And, you know, when I got hired here and heard about Gene's Leadership Institute and how that aligns with my values and what I want for each athlete as they go through our program and other programs here of what's next. And we're certainly doing that and preparing them at an elite level for their next.
Hey, Jen, I got to compliment Mac and Kylie, who represented us at the Big Ten Media Days. They did a great job, but they also looked pretty sharp.
They did.
That was an NIL deal with Express, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And Gabby Gonzalez got one too for the leadership summit that she went to in June. That's how it started. And yeah, I mean, credit to them to go out there and get that. And thanks to Express. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, they look pretty sharp. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, they told me we were going to wear black. So I prepared. I wore black and they showed up in white. And I was like,
yeah, no.
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, they looked great. They did a fantastic job. I mean, the amount of compliments we got from the Big Ten and the people that are there, like that just is a testament to their time here and what they've learned with Bucks Go Pro and everything that they've done there. It's really cool.
Very mature, very mature. Loved watching them.
Jen, this will air after your first pair of home matches, but what's your message to fans around the city and state that might want to catch you guys when you return back to the Covelli in October?
Yeah, whenever we come back here. Get your tickets early. You know, I think this is a group that you're going to want to see, and we're starting to sell out, and the resale is not on us. It's based on people that bought their tickets, and the value is going up. So if you want to get your tickets, get them early. You know, don't expect to get them at the door, because we're going to sell out quite a bit. And it's going to be an exciting team to watch. So come pack Covelli and let's make it loud in here.
That's great. Absolutely. And I, you know, the vision for Covelli was to have volleyball, wrestling, other sports, to have this opportunity to be successful, but also have a venue where fans can have an impact on the contest. And you've done an unbelievable job in helping us develop our women's program where that vision can become a reality. And it's so much fun to be able to go there and know that you're going to have fans there. You know, yeah. you just know it. And hopefully, to your point, all of our fans will rally around particularly our October schedule and show up, which I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tickets are available at ohiostatebuckeyes.com. Jen, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Gene, before we get going, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what we have coming up over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, with football having the home schedule that we have every weekend, we have a home game. And so our operations team is really focused on making sure that each contest is put on the right way. So we have some and then we have some exciting promotions around each contest. And then obviously we have soccer and volley, soccer and men's and women's soccer at home on a number of occasions, and field hockey. Women's volleyball is on the road quite a bit till October, but the main thing is we'll have contests for our fall sports almost every weekend, and that's really exciting. And so those are the big opportunities that we have, and just something that we got to make sure we focus on, that our student athletes have a great competitive environment, great experience, and then our fans have a remarkable experience when they come. So that's our biggest focus, Ben.
Fantastic. That does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you, Ryan and Jen, for taking some time to chat today. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. Until next time, we'd like to wish you all well. Hope you're staying safe and healthy. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.